welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and I have a special show for you. I have invited to the program award-winning author, trained psychotherapist, college instructor, and speaker of truth, Richard Singer. Richard grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, where he also completed his associate, bachelor's, and master's degrees. He grew up with alcoholism in his family and developed a cocaine addiction while earning his bachelor's degree. He eventually returned home to work on himself, but it would be a few years and 13 treatment centers before returning to his educational goals. Since then, he has dedicated his time and energy to a variety of local rehabilitation centers where he passionately helps human beings suffering from addiction and mental health difficulties. Richard recently decided to follow his dreams and move to Grand Cayman, a Caribbean island, where he writes and devotes most of his time to his 18-month-old twins, Matthew and Alexander. Additionally, Richard has published two books titled Your Daily Walk with the Great Minds with Loving Healing Press and Eastern Wisdom for Your Soul with Dream River Press. Richard is humanistic in his philosophy and believes that all human beings have the capacity for greatness in whatever they pursue and desire. He consistently supports individuals in their search for purpose and passion in life, and he believes that anything else beyond this is insignificant. His book, Your Daily Walk with the Great Minds, Wisdom and Enlightenment of Past and Present, provides 366 days of wisdom, meditation, and journaling exercises specifically designed to help a recovering addict manage the day-to-day battle that is recovery. And I am just so happy to have Richard here today to hear a little bit more about his story and this really amazing little book that he's put out. So thank you for joining us today, Richard.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so you do have quite an interesting life story. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your recovery process and really kind of what made the difference after 13 stays in treatment?
Yeah, sure. There were quite a few. I think every treatment center had an impact on me and kind of planted a seed for recovery. But finally, when I was homeless in Florida after the last treatment center, I decided that I needed to do something, and it was kind of a spiritual awakening that I had. And since then, a day at a time, I've been able to stay away from drugs and alcohol and been able to do amazing things in my life with the help of the universe, I guess I would say. I don't have a specific religious philosophy, but I know that there's something out there that helps me, because it's not me that's doing all this stuff.
Well, there's different schools of thought regarding recovery and how important spirituality and some form of spirituality is to the journey of a recovering person. So obviously that was a big part of your process.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a part that was needed. It was necessary and vital in my search for recovery and life.
Mm-hmm. So how long has it been now for you?
It's been over 9 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So what type of support did you have through your recovery process, and was your family involved?
Sure. I had a lot of support from therapists and from professionals in the field that believed in me, and my family was involved in the process. Initially, my family kind of played tough love and said that they didn't want anything to do with me after the last relapse. However, it didn't stay that way. That was kind of their way of forcing me into getting better. Mm. So yeah, I had support from basically everybody around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us then a little bit about your childhood, because if your family was supportive, but I know that you came up with a bit of a rough childhood, you know, coming from a divorced background. So tell us a little bit about growing up in a family that was dysfunctional and where there was alcoholism.
Yeah. My father drank every day of his life until about 10 years ago as well. He's sober now. It was always kind of dysfunctional dysfunctional home, but my mother was always there for me. She played both parts, my mother and father, and she was always behind everything that I did. But my father was rarely there for me, which I began dealing with when I was in recovery, dealing with that issue in my life. But I always had incredible support from my mother, but my father wasn't there. My sister was also into drugs at that time. Mm. And kind of everybody around me was drinking and using drugs throughout my development, except my mother. She was, you know, always by my side.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of is a sounds like to me like a family issue. It's not just one person. You know, when you trace back into the family roots, there's more issues there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much alcoholism and addiction and mental health stuff going on in my family. It's actually incredible to see because it's so genetic. I definitely believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this being a family type of dynamic, I'm really interested in what it's like for you now to be a father and how your recovery has affected the way that you're raising your boys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so grateful that my twin boys don't have to see me drink or use drugs, or they don't have to feel the effect of that in their life. And it's incredible to do that. I definitely don't have alcohol in the home, and I don't like them to be around alcohol, really, and I don't like people to take care of them that are drinking or involved in any kind of drinking, even if they're just having a couple of wines. I just don't feel that it's necessary to drink around my children. So that's one thing that I one part of my life that I kind of changed with the boys. But it's so incredible to be sober and to be in the moment and spend quality time with them whenever I can.
I imagine. Is your father a part of their lives as well at this point?
He is. Yes, he's been a part of their life. My family's in the United States, so they come here to see them, and we often go home as well to see them, but they're not involved on a daily basis because they're in another country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking from Grand Cayman right now, and I know ever so often we're getting a little bit of feedback in the phone, and that's why, because we're talking to you from very far away off on the island. So yeah. Your healing process then was probably the catalyst for a lot of healing in your family.
Absolutely. Yes, it has been.
That's exciting. Okay,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, so when did you decide to go into the field of psychotherapy? Because that's your main career,
yes,
at this point, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, gentlemen, when I was in rehab, one of the rehabs, I had the director of a treatment center come up to me and say that I was going to help a lot of people if I got sober and when I got sober. And I kind of remembered that. And when I got sober and I had about a year sober, I went back to that same place because it was a local place in Pennsylvania. And I said, I want a job because I want to help people like you told me I was going to. And they gave me a job right off the bat. And I worked there, and I restarted my education. And since then, received my master's degree and continue to work on further education and do everything I can for the field of therapy and addiction.
Mm. Are you seeing the field change as the years progress? I mean, we're seeing so much about addiction right now in the media, TV programs. I mean, it's such an epidemic right now.
It is an epidemic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the, the worst problem that we have in the world, actually. Is addiction, because it leads to all the other top causes of death, such as heart disease and cancer and all of those areas. So, yeah, we need to, instead of fighting addiction as in a war, we need to educate and treat people with addictions so the demand for the drugs goes away, instead of trying to take drugs out of the world, because that's never going to happen.
No, the war on drugs is not working.
No, definitely not.
Not working. So your book, Your Daily Walk, tell us how the idea for this book actually came about.
Well, I always found it helpful in my addiction, or in my recovery from addiction, to meditate on a daily basis, and read a daily book to kind of keep me focused in my life, and in that day and in that moment. So, and I always felt, the need to have quotes from people throughout history, to help me. So I collected these quotes and, developed my own meditations and a journaling aspect of it, and put it together as my first book. And, cause that whole process helped me, immensely in recovery and continues to help me.
Well, I was wondering if that was, you know, part of just the growth in your own journey in recovery, if this book really contributed to that whole process. I mean, how could you not be affected by going through and just formulating this formula? I mean, it's an incredible process.
Yeah, I was definitely affected by it, and I continue to use it on a daily basis and try to become the best person that I can be. A lot of it is very non-ego-centered, and we all have egos, and we're all going to continue to live with part of our egos, and that happens to me a lot. You know, I'm certainly not a perfect.
We're all works in progress.
I think our ego is always going to be involved. So I'm certainly not a perfect specimen of a human being that doesn't have the ego involved in my life. You know, that always interferes. But I like to go back to my book and the truth that I believe I wrote and try to live that way to the best of my ability without the ego's interference. So, but, you know, just like all human beings, my ego is always going to be involved, and I can just decrease the effect it has on my life each day.
I think that's a really good point, because there probably isn't a way to completely get rid of the ego. I mean, that's a protection mechanism basically we
sure.
have, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I don't think that there's a way to completely get rid of your ego throughout your whole life. I think moments, when we stay in the moment, we can completely we can have moments in our life when the ego isn't involved, but the ego is always going to come back and kind of try to haunt us. And there's going to be times when we give in to the ego. It's just getting back to that spiritual path rather than living robotically with the ego's influence without even thinking of the spirit aspect of us.
Mm-hmm. So this book is really a book for transformation for people. And I love, like I mentioned earlier, it's a formula that you have. You have a quote from a great mind, then a meditation, and then really a question that is inspiring, a journal entry, and then an affirmation at the end. And where did you come up with that? I mean, is that something that you learned in your recovery, or that's just, I mean, how did you come up with that?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely, none of it's really new. Mm-hmm. It's just a combination of a lot of things that I've seen in books and learned in class and learned in my studies and learned in recovery. So it's kind of it's a collaborative kind of formula that I put together, and it's kind of giving you everything at once. Obviously, the quote is, we can model that person that said that, and that's modeling, and that's a great therapeutic it's great therapy to model others and to act as if we are successful. That it's been around for a long time, and the meditation that answers itself. I think meditation has been shown to be extremely effective in recovery and in just life in general. So, and then the rest of the things, the aspects of the book come from a lot of different sources and. I was just kind of inspired to put that formula together.
It's great. It's right there. It's to the point. It's really great. I think it's wonderful. So would you suggest that someone use this book? You came up with a second edition that actually has space in it for the journal entry. So do you suggest that someone use this with, say, if they're in a 12-step program, with their readings of the big book and you know, that sort of thing?
Absolutely, it goes right along with any 12-step program, and it goes along with life. If you want to live a better life, just like 12-step programs, I think everybody can use a 12-step program.
Yeah.
But yeah, it goes along with 12-step program. It goes along with living a better life and becoming more successful in your living and peaceful.
How long do you take out of your day to do this kind of practice?
Well, I think that I try to do it 24 hours a day, actually, except obviously while sleeping, but I still try to sleep peacefully as well. But I believe in a form of meditation called mindfulness, and it's trying to be in the moment. Mindfulness is being in the moment, each moment of our lives. So I strive to do it all waking moments of my life. But formally, I do it several times a day. I'll go through a book and read and kind of meditate on what I've read. And journaling always helps me get things out of my head. So I write every day in some aspect.
Mm-hmm. It really clears you. I mean, it's a very transformative thing to do is to get stuff out of your head and onto paper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. The stuff we keep in our head, I think, just begins to get extremely chaotic, and it becomes kind of a circus up there. We need to get it out in reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is the priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Richard Singer, author of Your Daily Walk with Great Minds, Wisdom and Enlightenment of the Past and Present. It is out now on Loving Healing Press. And you can find out more about Richard through his website, yourdailywalk.org. I love your suggestions for books of the month. You have a list of 12 that is stretching from Norman Vincent Peale to Deepak Chopra. It's a really interesting list. How important were these types of books in your recovery, and do you have an all-time favorite that you continuously return to?
All of those books were extremely important in my recovery. I read everything that I could get my hands on. And I continue to do so. I read everything that I could get my hands on, anything inspirational, anything kind of about historical inspirational figures, as well as Eastern philosophy and psychological topics. As for a favorite, it's hard to say. I mean, I love Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
And I love his books. The Thich Nhat Hanh, I love him, and the Dalai Lama. There's just so many out there. I could never say that I have a favorite, but there's thousands of books that I love and could probably say are my favorite.
So you are very drawn to Eastern philosophies then, it sounds like. Did you grow up having Eastern philosophy presented to you, or is that something you stumbled on in recovery?
Yeah, I kind of stumbled on it in recovery, and it really touched the, you know, my soul and the core of me, and I knew that what I was reading and what I was studying was closest to the truth that I can come to.
Mm. Is there any book right now that you're getting inspired by? Or, I mean, there's a lot of self-help books that we see coming out all the time and philosophy and that sort of thing. Are you drawn to any of the recent releases?
I just started reading The Last Lecture.
Oh.
And The Disappearance of the Universe. Those are two books that I'm involved in right now. They're great, and they give me other perspectives of things and of life, and I'm always open-minded to bring new perspectives on life and truth and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. So now you're in recovery. You've got almost a decade behind you, and now you're kind of living the life that you're choosing to at this point. And so I want to talk about a couple of interesting aspects of your life. One is the charity run that's coming up, which is just such an inspiration. But first, I want to talk a little bit about your move to the Cayman Islands, to Grand Cayman.
Yes.
You know, this was a big dream of yours. So I'd love to know how you finally actually made your dream a reality.
Sure. I got a job offer over here with the government and decided to pick up and go because I always dreamed to live on an island, and I believed that it would be an inspirational place for me to write and to live. So that's how I got here, and those are the things that I do in recovery, is spontaneous things that dreams that I have, and I make them happen. Which is the such a phenomenal part of my recovery. But I have these dreams, and I can usually make them happen pretty close to my visualization of them.
Mm-hmm. So how have you managed to get away from any of the fear that may, you know, impede you from following your dreams?
Sure.
Excuse me, or making them happen, you know, which
That's
is something
question.
that we all struggle with.
Yeah, it's a great question. Living with fear and living according to fear ruins many people's lives. We're always going to have the fear. The fear thoughts and the emotions come to my mind. However, which Eastern wisdom talks about, Eastern philosophy talks about, is kind of letting it come to your mind and then letting it go as well, and not living according to it. So that's what I do with most of my fear, is feel it, and I see it in my mind, but then I let it go and I don't live according to it. So I can say very confidently that I live without most fear that I've had in my life. I used to be ruled by fear. Mm-hmm. Today I can't really say that I fear much, except sharks maybe.
Yeah, right, where you are. So do you think fear, then, we could look at fear as a great teacher?
Absolutely. We can definitely look at it as a great teacher, but we need to walk through the fear. Mm-hmm. We need to learn something from it, but then we need to walk through it to kind of actualize our life streams.
So I have to ask you, you know, you have your own practice in the Caymans, mm-hmm. in Cayman Island. So one would not equate, you know, the paradise of the Caribbean with people having issues or problems.
Sure.
How is your practice going?
It's good. I do it part time, and I teach part time as well. But there's just as many problems in what we call paradise as there are anywhere else. Definitely, the ego doesn't take a break in Grand Cayman. Mm-hmm. Definitely doesn't take a break in Grand Cayman. So there's just as many problems, and there's a lot of depression and you know, a lot of relationship problems and all the problems that we're used to, even in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So it's a state of humanity. It doesn't matter where you are, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it matters where you are at all. I don't think there's any geographic cure to addiction or mental health or any of those difficulties that we have in our life.
Mm-hmm.
The only cure, I think, or the only treatment is, you know, going within ourselves.
Getting to know who you are, getting to know yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let us talk about this exciting event that you have coming up, this record-breaking 2,800-mile charity run. You're going from L.A. to New York. I mean, this is outstanding. So you have to tell us how this came about and tell us about this race.
Well, last year I started running, and I ran a marathon, and really enjoyed it and had a passion for it. And always in my life, I strive to help human beings. So this idea came to me, and I just decided and felt within me that I definitely needed to pursue it and realize it and make it happen.
So it's a, but tell us about, because this is a Guinness World Record that you're looking to break. Tell us about that. Like, how did you discover the whole world record aspect to it?
Well, I researched what the record was and talked with the Guinness Book of World Records and signed an agreement that I would attempt to break that record, which was 46 days by a guy named Frank Giannano from New York. So I thought that would definitely make it more exciting, and we would be able to raise more money for charities if I you know, chose to try to break the world record.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that will happen.
I believe you. I think you're going to do it. So now, have there been a lot of people that have tried this?
I think that there's been, for the record, you mean?
Yeah.
For the record, no. Not recently. It's 27 years old, and I'm sure that there's quite a few that may have tried to beat the record but didn't. There's one this year that's trying to break the record as well.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the years, nobody's really come close to doing it in 46 days.
I mean, that is incredible. What does your training look like at this point, and when are you thinking of doing this?
I'm doing it. I actually just set a date with the publicist and the fundraising director, as well as the documentary crew. There's going to be a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be February 20th, and I will finish on my boy's birthday in New York City.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, that'll be a motivator as well.
Absolutely. So are you in, like, major training with a personal trainer right now?
Well, no, I not with a personal trainer. I just started training twice a day, running a lot and doing stuff related to running. But I train myself for the marathon, and I'm going to train myself for this event with the help of, you know, resources on the internet and books and everything that I come into. But it's definitely going to be a lot of training.
Mm-hmm. So what ultimately then are your objectives or your personal goals for this marathon or this race?
I want to raise $1 million for the charities that I chose. There's two aspects to it. The money from Grand Cayman will go towards a at-risk scholarship for youth, mm-hmm. For at-risk youth here on the island. And then there's six charities that represent several aspects of life that I'll raise the money for in the United States. Well, one being addiction involved, one mental health, which is the Damon and Stella Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Bob Thornton's going to be involved in that. And we're going to have an AIDS Foundation, Cancer Foundation, an Animal Sanctuary.
Make-A-Wish,
as well as, and Make-A-Wish, yes, mm-hmm. as well as Make-A-Wish. So there's going to be six foundations that will benefit from it.
That is fantastic. So how much support are you getting right now? You must be getting a great outpouring.
I am, definitely. I'm getting a lot of support, and I secured a full-time publicist that is incredible. He's a large publicist for celebrities, actually, and he's doing all the work for free and managing it. And then the documentary crew and a fundraising director. I believe we'll have a large event in L.A. That'll be hosted by one of the stars from Real World.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be a lot of celebrity involvement, and I've been getting such incredible support from everybody that knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so more information can be found through your website, yourdailywalk.org, about
yes.
your race. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
And sign up for the definitely sign up for the newsletter, because I send. I send updates as much as possible.
Okay, wonderful. So how is your family responding to this decision of yours?
Well, they're a little fearful.
Mm.
Because it's definitely a quite a challenge, but they're all supporting me incredibly, and they think I'm a little bit crazy, but that's all right. I think that we need to be crazy living life a little bit in order to take some risks and fulfill our purpose.
Yeah, and push ourselves farther than we think we may be able to go.
Absolutely. Getting rid of expectations is one of the biggest things, and to stop putting limits on ourselves.
Oh, I love that. That's great. So what are your plans besides this? I mean, I'm sure that this run is your main focus right now, but do you have any plans for upcoming books or any other projects?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I have a children's book that I collaborated with people on the island that will be released within a few months. Everything's pretty much done with it. I'm just setting up some publicity stuff for it. So it'll be a self-help children's book, as well as a book called Now, which is going to be my last meditation book that I do, based on present-centered, all present-centered meditations and quotes, and ways to apply them in our life in the moment. And then I will start a kind of a different phase of writing.
Oh, interesting. Do you know where you're going to be going with your writing?
Well, yeah, I want to do kind of my personal story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to do a book that kind of combines all religions, and talks about, one true religion. I wouldn't call it a religion though, but one true spirituality, that obviously there is only one. Mm-hmm. And we need to combine everything and kind of, get the exclusivity out of philosophy and religion and make it inclusive of the human race.
Mm, wonderful. Well, you have a lot of ideas for books coming out. Very exciting.
Yeah, and it's going to take a while, but they'll be coming.
Yeah, that's so. I'm really interested too in this one that's going to be coming out later this year for children. Where did you get that idea from?
I've seen some self-help books for children, and I always wanted to do a children's book, and then the birth of my children kind of inspired me to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on, it's called Daddy, What is Success? And it's based on children asking the father what he thinks success is. And it's based on 8 secrets that the father tells the children, which involve what I believe to be the basic principles of living, such as give as much as you can, share, living in the moment, being the best you can. So it's kind of rhyming, and it has some really cool illustrations. And I think it's going to help, and it has questions for the parents to talk to the children about.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be, successful and a lot of fun and helpful to the children of the world.
I love that idea. What's the age range for that book?
I did not put an age range because I think that the earlier we, I read my boys' books now, and I read them to them when they were really, really young, and I think just reading and talking about those kind of principles can kind of enter their consciousness at any age. So you can start reading when they're babies and read till they're, in their teenage years. So these principles are universal and can be applied to any age group.
Mm, great. Well, how exciting. Well, let's mention your website once again, yourdailywalk.org. People can find your books, sign up for your newsletter, find out more about your run. Up there you have a blog. You've got a lot of information. So we certainly suggest that people check that out. And Richard,
Absolutely. Yes,
I want to thank you. This has been such a great interview. You've been just a wealth of knowledge. You're very inspiring. We wish you all the best on this run and your preparation for it. So,
thank you very much. It was wonderful to have the interview with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you want to share any final thoughts with listeners before we let you go today?
Well, not really, except, I guess one thing is to just be the best that we can be and accept everybody as one. I think that's what we can do on a daily basis to make ourselves better as well as the world.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Richard. You take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, I've been talking with Richard Singer. His latest book, Your Daily Walk with Great Minds, is out now, and it's been published by Loving Healing Press. It's available through his website as well as through online and local booksellers. The website, once again, yourdailywalk.org. So thank you so much for tuning in again to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.